Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezsource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezsource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss sports memorabilia, corporate world to entrepreneurship, and the impact of technology on the collectibles. Our guest today is Ken Schmidt, owner of Charlotte Sports Collectibles, which specializes in catering to memories and memorabilia through multiple channels, including sports cars and hobby supplies. Ken developed his passion for card collecting throughout his childhood, but always wanted to open his own shop. The corporate grind was a major factor in turning his passion into a reality. His path provides inspiration to those forging ahead in life and business. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Ken Schmidt. Let's hear from Ken on why he got into sport collecting.
My path was probably pretty typical. You know, when you're young, especially, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, a lot of kids collected, right? We played with the cards, we flipped, we traded, we did all of that. And traditionally, you know, you'll run into a hiatus through college where, collecting becomes more dormant. And then post-college, you start getting more discretionary income, you tend to revitalize your hobbies, whatever those hobbies may be. And some of them morph, some of them stay consistent. For me, it stayed consistent, and I went right back to sports memorabilia and have been collecting ever since. Always planned to open a shop, and that brings me where we are today.
We were interested to know if there was an inspiration behind owning a sports collectible shop versus just being a hobbyist in this industry.
I think most people have had those thoughts from the standpoint of, wouldn't it be nice, right, to be a sole proprietor, right, to run your own business? So I certainly had all those feelings as well. And so I say I had always planned, but I also had to see if that plan was realistic. So what inspired me really more so to open it was, quite frankly, the corporate grind. You know, so I was very fortunate, you know, for 26 years. You know, I worked in corporate America, had days, I always tell people days, months, years, you know, that I really enjoyed. Conversely, you know, I had days, months, and years that I didn't enjoy so much. But I can tell you now, for the past 8 months, every day I've looked forward to coming in here and opening the shop. So for me, that's what it's been about. And I wouldn't say it was, you know, I couldn't say that any longer in my prior career, that I still had that passion every day to do it.
When you look around Ken's shop, you notice a massive sports collectible collection, and we wanted to know how he started this massive collection.
Certainly had players that I was interested in that I collected. Growing up in Central Jersey, you know, we were close to Philly, probably 45 minutes away, so grew up a huge Philly fan, so that point would have been the Philadelphia Phillies, right? The Sixers, the Eagles. And, you know, was a passionate fan for Mike Schmidt, for Charles Barkley, right? So some of those greats. So I would say when I was young and certainly didn't have the means to collect what I wanted to collect, you know, the real valuable items, those were always the thing that I had my eye on, so that when I did have the discretionary income, that I could purchase those items. And as a result, I have a good bit of those items that as a kid I always coveted, but just couldn't afford.
Collecting looks to be a little bit art and a little bit science. So we are interested to know from Ken, what are the key things he looks for when acquiring his collectible product?
Knowledge is king. So you really, first you have to know what you want. You have to know your budget, like anything else, because there's always a very high end. And conversely, there's always a lower end example of what you're looking for. So based on the right budget, you can usually find the one that you want. And so no, it's not, there's no necessarily any tricks, you know, to acquiring other than understanding your budget, knowing what you want, and doing your research on what prior sales have been. And then quite frankly, what's available in the marketplace. because that's really more important than anything. The card you want may come available, and it may be one of them. So from that standpoint, you just have to either agree with the buyer and seller, between the buyer and seller, that it's a fair price, and either you purchase it or you move on.
Turning a passion into a business is a fascinating journey, so we wanted to know what the shift was like in transitioning from being a collector to being a business owner.
I've got to be very careful on what I acquire, because I've shared with people in the past when they come in, is it's a little bit of a shift. It's not so much as a collector anymore, so I'm not just acquiring inventory. I've got to acquire products that my customers want. So what I may like and what I may think is cool really takes a back seat and becomes irrelevant to what my customers want to purchase, because they don't have the same buying desires that I had as a collector. And I always tell people that collecting is very personal. It's what you like. So not everyone has to do it the same way.
The sports collectible industry has changed drastically over the years. We wanted to know from Ken how it has changed and what he sees as the future of the sports collectible industry.
You know, to start, the hobby's strong, which is great. And the basis of any hobby is discretionary income, you know, discretionary money. And like we said, the beauty of that is people get to really pick and choose where they spend their money. But I would tell you the hobby is also, it's a mixture of what I would say are flippers and investors. Right, so a flipper, you know, that's just jargon, but a flipper is someone who may open new product, is looking for that hit, may be a very valuable card, but not personal to them. So it's something that they're buying and then they're selling. They're selling hopefully for a profit so they can reinvest and then buy more things that they like. So that's that flipper mentality in the business. And then you've got your investors, right, who are looking for something very specific, traditionally high-end, traditionally graded material by a third party that has a very strong future for appreciation. And there's a combination of the two. You know, and my advice to everyone who will listen to me is it's a combination. Balance is probably the best suggestion that I would have, is have fun, because the products that come out are incredible. But if you're all in on the new products, you may find a few years from now that you can get burned out. But like anything else, if there's balance and there's a balanced investment from retired and current players, I think there's real significant opportunities for appreciation and legs in the hobby, because you won't get as frustrated. You stick with it.
There are so many people with unique interests, and we wanted to know what advice Ken would give to anybody leaving the corporate world to start a business around their unique passion.
The advice that I would have for someone else is, you know, be financially prepared. I think a lot of people, certainly I was one as well, that always, you know, you fall in love with that dream of being a business owner. But most of the small business owners that I speak with who have transitioned from a corporate world, corporate America, you know, they're working longer and they're making less money. So are you prepared? Are you able to be able to take that type of hit? So it's got to be your passion. And I think, you know, there's some risk there where people get in and you see it. There's churn, you know, in most small businesses, and that someone gets into it, their expectations for income are one thing. Reality turns out to be different, and they weren't prepared financially to be able to take that hit. And now they take something that they've loved, and now it becomes more of a friction point. And now maybe they have to do something different. So I would say being financially prepared is critical.
If you can identify who the next best rookie is, you're onto something. So we wanted to find out from Ken, what is this process of finding the next best rookie to invest in for sports memorabilia?
There's always a hot rookie. And there's always a fun opportunity when you're opening new product to hit some of those hot rookies. And we've had multiple examples just in the last week. You know, there's no one hotter as a rookie goes in the NBA than Luka Doncic. So just being able to have that type of product available for my customers. And I had a gentleman walk in the other day, his two kids, they each bought a pack of an inexpensive card. The father sent me a text later in the day and asked me, is this good? And it happened to be a Luka autograph relic card signed, numbered to 99. So that was outstanding. So a very small investment on their part, huge return, but that's kind of the fun of the hobby. And those are some of the nice finds, you know, that some of the customers get. It can't happen, and I explain all the time, it won't happen in every pack. It won't necessarily happen in every box, but that's the fun of the hobby. I had a gentleman earlier today. We started looking up some top prospects in baseball. He had some questions about people. And that's more that investing side, right? Because people then will traditionally try to acquire either a really good card of one of those players that they're interested in, or quantities of cards of those players, or a combination of the two. But that's that investing side of it. Still very popular and thriving in the business.
Let's hear from Ken on how technology and social media has impacted his industry.
Yeah, I would say it's a lot less today, as evident by the number of stores, right? So there are few stores today compared to what it was in the 80s and the 90s. And the reason is the internet. There's more collector to collector type forums, whether it's social media. So people have a lot of options as to how they acquire and how they collect. So it's not just brick and mortar any longer. And that's why it's my belief that any of the successful brick and mortars are doing both. You know, you have to have a social presence, you have to sell online, and you sell in store. And when I look at sales on a month in and month in, month out basis, you know, we're seeing sales in all channels. But yes, today I would say for us on the website, what you don't see is a built out e-commerce website, because we can take advantage of eBay. You know, so, you know, our eBay, which is another good handle, is Charlotte_sports_collectibles_2018. And that's where I'll use to also load inventory. But quite frankly, it's just a fraction of what we have. I use it to really just draw more eyeballs to the website and eventually to the store as well.
We now go into the quick question, quick answer part of this podcast episode. If you weren't working in the sports collectibles industry, what would you be doing?
Probably still be doing the grind. I led sales teams with a very large national, global, worldwide employer.
Who is your favorite sports team or athlete?
I would say growing up in the Philly area, it was probably a tie between Mike Schmidt and Charles Barkley. Schmidt was a fantastic third baseman. He could combine the defense with also being an incredible hitter, mostly for power. But Barkley was the basketball player, right, that I always wanted to be. Somebody who was only 6'4", but could play down low with the best of them and be a center and really school a lot of people, a lot bigger, because he was an incredible athlete. And so I would say it was probably a tie between those two.
What is your favorite social media channel and why?
Interesting. It's a combination of them all. You know, in our business, we have to use them all. But I'm finding whether it's Instagram. Instagram seems to have a good hit ratio and I would say most activity. I get a lot of correspondence through Facebook. I would say Twitter's probably the least for us. But it's probably a good balance and combination of them all.
What is your favorite piece of sports memorabilia you own?
The one that, you know, I probably enjoy the most is the one that's not available for sale, and that's the Babe Ruth signed baseball.
What is the best way our audience can get a hold of you?
Either through our website, any of the social media channels for us. Our handle's the same, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Charlotte Sport Collect, and Charlotte is abbreviated CLT, Sport, singular, Collect, Facebook, any of them. Call us or go to our website. Website is exactly what you would expect, www.charlottesportscollectibles.com.
Ken, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your thoughts on the sports memorabilia industry to the advice for anyone leaving the corporate world to start their own business, we're all better off from the time we spent with you. And for that, Ken, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Ken about his work in the sports industry or to learn more about Charlotte Sports Collectibles, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our Kaz Source podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time. Until next time, We're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of CASCM, the content marketing business inside CASSource, Inc. CASCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at CASSource to you. Learn more by visiting CASCM.com.